A conservative wish list of legislation is advancing in two bellwether states, Texas and Florida, including restrictions on voting. Let's get right to it with two people who watch this close. Ana Ceballos, who covers politics for the Miami Herald. She joins us on Skype. Hi, Ana.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Thank you for being here. And Patrick Svitek, who covers politics for the Texas Tribune. Hi, Patrick.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Yes, thank you for being here. So all of the levers of power in Florida and Texas are controlled by Republicans, and both states are seeing a population boom. Are changing demographics empowering Republicans, or are they worrying them? Patrick, let's start with you.
Well, I think for a number of years now, changing demographics in Texas have continued to shift the political landscape at the state level, away from Republicans. We can debate how fast that environment has been moving away from them and how fast it's been moving in favor of Democrats. But there's no doubt that Texas has been experiencing a political transformation as the state has gotten more diverse and has just grown in general. And so you can see that that is fueling some anxiety over their electoral prospects. They did just beat back kind of an all-out Democratic offensive in the 2020 election, but they did come out of that election, echoing a lot of the concerns and some of the unfounded, theories that you saw at the national level from former President Trump about the integrity of that election.
And Ana, you're seeing something similar in Florida.
Yes. So in Florida, what you have to keep in mind is we're known as this purple state for a reason. Within the Hispanic community, there are different voting blocks. There's people who fled Cuba, people who fled Venezuela, who are afraid of the word socialism, so that turned them off for some of the messaging that Republicans were targeting against Democrats. And not all Hispanics will vote the same way. So within that group, for example, we saw it in Miami-Dade County. There were, compared to 2016, there were more people who voted for Trump. The county is the most populous, and it was still blue. But that swing mattered in this purple state that is decided by razor thin margins. And this was the thing that lawmakers started mentioning and talking about ahead of the legislative session. They were saying, we have this mandate. There was a shift to the right in the state.
Ana, what I'm hearing from you is that Trumpism is really driving the agenda in your state.
He does have a pretty big base of supporters here. And you can see that through our governor. He became governor after being endorsed by Trump. He was a very little known congressman back then. And his national appeal has just skyrocketed over the past 3 years since he came into office.
Let's get into some of the legislation around voting restrictions. Just yesterday, Arizona's governor signed a measure that would make it harder to get a mail-in ballot. Both Florida Governor Ron DeSantis and Texas Secretary of State Ruth Hughes have said that last year's elections were fair and secure. Yet on Fox News last week, Governor DeSantis signed this bill that would make it harder to get an absentee ballot and find an available ballot box. Let's listen.
Me signing this bill here says, Florida, your vote counts. Your vote is going to be cast with integrity and transparency. And this is a great place for
democracy. Real quick question. Governor, real quick question. Will you allow...
And we know that a similar bill is advancing in Texas. What's the fight like over these bills? Are lawmakers being held accountable for these laws when we know no fraud took place? Let's start with you, Patrick.
Right. So a lot of what you're seeing happen in the Texas legislature right now is kind of a reaction in some ways to what Harris County in Texas tried to institute in the lead up to the November election. Harris County is a county of over 2 million registered voters. It's home to Houston. It's by far the biggest county in Texas. And ahead of the November election, Harris County successfully and unsuccessfully in some cases tried to institute a number of election reforms. One of them that they unsuccessfully tried to institute but probably drew the most controversy was sending out unsolicited applications for mail-in ballots to all their registered voters. And that, was ultimately stymied in the courts. But one of the big provisions as part of the legislation working its way through the process in Austin right now is a blanket ban on counties sending out unsolicited mail-in ballot applications. So they're really taking aim at that as well. There are a number of other provisions that could make it into the final version of this bill. There's been some, even among Texas Republicans, there's been some difference of opinion in how far to go.
How strong is that pushback in the legislature?
There aren't exactly, you know, Texas Republican lawmakers, you know, openly criticizing other Texas Republican lawmakers for going too far. But you can see in the different versions of the bills that have gone through the Senate and the House that they are not unified on what exactly should ultimately be included in the bill that makes it to Governor Abbott's desk. There wasn't a Senate provision that got stripped out in the House that required, our large counties to redistribute polling places under a formula that concerns a lot of voting rights advocates, could move polling locations away from areas with more Hispanic and Black residents. So that was clearly a more controversial provision that didn't make it from the Senate version of the bill into the House version of the bill.
Anna, what about in Florida? We've seen that there have been many vocal activist groups that have been speaking out against this, but what has it been like at the state capitol?
So in the state capitol, you know, the elections bill was among the most contentious measures considered during the legislative session. There was also some pushback from all of the Florida 67 election supervisors. They said that the call for these election reforms were unnecessary considering the state's success in the 2020 election. But it was interesting to see, you know, our northern neighbor in Georgia, Georgia lawmakers faced a lot of backlash from corporations and Major League Baseball when they passed their election bills. And right in the immediate aftermath, Florida Republicans did water down their own bill during session, and they abandoned proposals that would have banned the use of drop boxes and to impose strict signature matching requirements. So there was some outside pressure, if you will, more so than on the debate floor.
Let's talk a little bit more about the impacts here. So last week, Texas State Representative Rafael Anchia asked Election Committee Chair Briscoe Cain why Cain used some language that harkens back to the Jim Crow era in drafting the voting bill. Let's listen.
And you talked about preserving the purity of the ballot box. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's a quotation from the Texas Constitution. It'd be Article 6, Section 4.
Right. And are you aware of the history behind that provision of the Constitution?
I'm not.
Okay, we know that Texas has a long history of discriminating against Black voters using measures like poll taxes. This purity phrase was eventually dropped from this bill that lawmakers are debating. But was this a wake-up moment for anyone in the state, Patrick?
You know, I don't think it was in terms of changing minds in the Texas House or in the Texas Senate. It was obviously a kind of embarrassing moment for Briscoe Cain, the House Elections Chair, who's carrying this bill in the lower chamber. But by and large, you're seeing, you know, each side retreat to their corners on this, and it's been a very partisan issue.
Patrick, there are so many other bills up before legislators. The session, as you said, it isn't over yet. What else will you be watching for in the coming days?
Yeah, this session in Texas has been pretty fascinating. It started out very low-key we had the election of a new House Speaker. We were consumed with questions about how big our budget shortfall was going to be. We were consumed with questions about how much, practically speaking, how lawmakers could gather amid the pandemic. And a lot of those kind of more bread and butter kind of, sober issues have kind of given away to what's become a red meat session here at the end. In addition to the advancement of these election bills, you're also seeing the advancement of permitless carry of handguns, which has been a longtime priority of gun rights activists here in Texas. And so you're seeing the advancement at the end here of some red meat issues that I think a lot of people at the beginning of our session didn't expect there to be a lot of space in the conversation for, but they are, advancing pretty briskly. The State House, this is a critical week for the State House. There are a number of bill killing deadlines that have come up, and they spent this week 4 to 6 hours debating a bill that aims to ban the teaching, the required teaching at least, of critical race theory in Texas classrooms. And so you're really seeing the legislature at the end here kind of tacked to the right in a way that I don't think a lot of people expected going into this legislative session in Texas.
Anna, what are you watching for next in Florida politics?
So our legislative session ended a week ago. I was, along with a lot of lawmakers, were surprised at how culture wars became such a focus of this legislative session and how big of a winner DeSantis ended up being of pretty much every single thing he requested. He got the transgender athlete ban with the anti-riot bill. They were more emboldened to pass some of these conservative bills. And it will be interesting to see what happens next year and whether they keep building on that or if this was the grand finale and then they're just going to make some tweaks to their priorities. I guess we'll see.
A lot to watch for. Ana Ceballos covers politics for the Miami Herald and Patrick Svitek covers politics for the Texas Tribune. Thank you both for joining us.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.